I'd like to talk today on the first years of drip irrigation and to express it as a closed circuit from implementation to research and vice versa. My personal observation on that started in the middle of the 50s when I heard from one of the growers and from the manufacturer about the invention of BLAST. who was the well-known inventor of the drip irrigation. And the term attracted the attention of the scientists of the Faculty of Agriculture in Israel some 10 years later. The paper of the Faculty of Agriculture that brought drip irrigation to the launch of the world was published by Goldberg and Shmueli in 1970. Okay, thanks. In 1970, under transactions of the ASA journal. The paper in 1970 actually covered most of the relevant aspects of drip irrigation. It demonstrated the effect of drip irrigation on yield improvement, on high-frequency irrigation, and water and salt distribution, and also, and even, a preliminary and intuitively presentation of yield water modeling. I would like to add also to that that the two or three dimensional interest of many soil physics aspects was associated and possibly influenced by the development of drip irrigation. It came in replacement of the interest of the soil physics and others in one-dimensional uniform crop cover in the field. So around the middle of the 50s, a person that was working in the envelope of Gaza envelope, what we call today, sent a letter to his friends saying that he heard of a very newly developed a method which is called drip irrigation, and it was highly successful in his vegetable gardens. By the way, this grower was the uncle of Eshel Bressler, who we are well familiar with, I think. This is a typical drip irrigation field. Plus, in his biography, wrote a book which is translated to Quarreled Water and Deeds. He selected the development of drip irrigation into three breakthrough chapters. The first one was the first custard emitter. Second was the high-frequency irrigation test that he showed that if we reduce irrigation interval from 30 irrigations for one irrigation per 30 days, to 5 days interval, then the yield is increased. And finally, in 69, he thought that the breakthrough was the when the subject entered the world launch. Another point was that I happened to see a book published by Jules Jennings on classic papers in horticultural science. He compiled revolutionary papers in agriculture and included the one that was published by Goldberg and Shmueli. The name was Drip Irrigation, a method used under desert conditions of high water and soil salinity. Again, that's the same paper. And I think it was one of the five papers that he related in the last 200 years or so that was a revolutionary paper. So this encouraged me to use this paper as a revolutionary paper and a key subject. The major findings of their paper was first that yield can be improved, irrigation frequency should be reduced to 1 day. Today we are even irrigating several times a day. they described and plotted the salt distribution and suggested the first, as I said, first explanation to the high yield of drip irrigation. The high yield of drip irrigation is shown here. This is their figure. I knew it was going to happen here. Here, I will not touch the mouse here, but they say that in order to obtain a higher yield than what is expected, they took the bottom line of drip irrigation. They moved it from I have this. Okay, thank you. They moved this area, which is about the wilting point, up to the field capacity, and they took field capacity and moved it up to the aerated saturation that they have. One more thing which is important to note, that later Reinder Feles came with his model, and it is very similar to what they found if we put the two together. And you see that the upper limit of Reinder-Feles can be close of the yield as a function of water content, let's say, or soil water potential here. It's very close to the upper yield of the previous of Goldberg and Shmueli, and then the reduction in yield here is a function of the potential evapotranspiration and the water requirements. Another point that I want to mention and to emphasize the influence of drip irrigation on the whole concept of soil physics, and which was basically one-dimensional world, and they shifted to 2D and even three-dimensional world in after and accompanied the drip irrigation findings. So here you can see three. Natalia, I think I almost. Here you can see three one-dimensional infiltration models, and the common feature of these three, of course, Green and Amt in 1911. Green and Amt were the first soil physicists that I can point on, and then Horton in 1933, and of course Philip in 1954. The common features of these three models are that first they don't have space coordinates. Second, they are all time dependent, and third, they cannot describe the soil water content profile in the field. That's a common finding in their model. The two-dimensional model that came later in the late 60s and the early 70s were those of, let's say, Wooding, Philip, Rubin, and Peter Ratz. They already, they worked mostly on steady infiltration, but included also soil water distribution, like Wooding's equation. You can see here the R is the radial coordinate, and Z is the soil depth, and S is a hydraulic properties function. Warwick and Lohmann used the Gardner type of soil to linearize analytically solve the Richard's equation for point, strip, and disk source. And finally, Brandt et al. And his group solved it three-dimensionally or quasi-three-dimensionally with X, Y as an area and Z is the depth with tabulated hydraulic properties of K and D. I'd like to review another point, and that's the salinity, fertigation, chemical fate, and chemical transport. And I can start with fertigation, which was defined by Benny Bar Yosef as incorporation of irrigation and fertilization. It provides harmonization and integration between water and plant nutrition. And as you can see here, cumulative increase in dry matter with time as a function of days after planting is accompanied nicely by the uptake of nitrogen value. Another relevant part of this development can be presented here. It was paper by Bressler in 75, which took water distribution of Brand and added to it the salinity. Of course, what can be seen here is that distribution of water under drip irrigation is a function of drip discharge. Here is 20 and here is 4. And as usual, the hydraulic properties of the soil. This photo represents the realistic way of the model. It shows that salts are pushed to the periphery and leave in the middle leave the leached volume for the roots. The last point that I want to raise is the energy balance and evapotranspiration under drip and trickle irrigation. Paradoxically, as it may sound, this aspect of three-dimensional distribution was not investigated sufficiently in the late 70s and so on. The only paper I could find was, sorry for myself, in which each tree or a plant in the under drip irrigation can be taken as a mini oasis in which advection can be contributed from the dry area from the between the laterals of the drip irrigation and contributed some more evaporation than the one-dimensional input of energy in the on the tree. We measured some 30% advective energy, additional advective energy to the evapotranspiration. And this is the only paper that so far was published related to the evapotranspiration. 1 minute, okay. In spite of this problem, water application and the change in irrigated area during the last 50 years of the 20th in Israel raised from 50,000 hectares to a little bit than more than 200,000 hectares. In the U.S., we have some 1.3 million hectares of micro-irrigation. Coming to the end of my talk, I would say that the findings of Goldberg and Shmueli until the 70s improved yield by 100%, used saline water 3 to 6 decisiemens based on leaching, reduced irrigation intervals, and finally they suggested, gave some suggestion of theoretical explanations. All the rest of our findings were small input, but cumulative one. And without the research, I don't think the industry would have been moved so far ahead with drip irrigation. So what we found was, and completed from the 70s to the 80s, and I limited myself to the 80s, first the fertigation, water and salt profiles, two-dimensional modeling, and still to be completed, and I think it's ahead of us, is aeration, root distribution, water use efficiency, water saving, and most important, I think, is energy balance on drip irrigation fields. So thank you for your